forward. Let me just state for the record, writing this book has not been easy. Talk about an emotional roller coaster. There have been times when I was close to giving up and times when I was sure the book was just right. When I first shared the manuscript with various publishers, their responses weren't exactly uplifting. The book has too small an audience. You should delete this section. The book's too long. You write too much about yourself. You write too little about yourself. Maybe we'll publish next year after a rewrite. And so on. It really put me in two minds and made me doubt both the project and my own abilities. Should I do as they say? Is the book not relevant? Will it make sense to others? I've thought about giving up so often. After several rejections, I made a decision. I had to write this book the way I thought it should be written. It's my story, my experience, and it deserves to be presented to you as honestly and authentically as possible. One of the reasons for writing the book has been to demonstrate how the seemingly impossible is possible when you decide to make it possible. What you're about to read, therefore, is the book as it wanted to be written. It's my story, not a publisher's version of my story. My role in the book is to be a living example of the exciting and life-affirming topics that I think we know far too little about and learn far too little about in our everyday lives. My ambition has been to illustrate how we can grow greater than all the imaginable and unthinkable problems and misfortunes life can throw at us. The book contains knowledge that I've used to transform my view of the world we live in and to find my place in it. That I write about myself and share my experiences and my life, my story, is a natural consequence of being the person I know best in the world, and that I happen to have a personal misfortune to tell you about. So I volunteered to make my life story available to the author, who just also happens to be me. Are you confused? Don't be. I'm just playing with words and warming up to what we'll soon be doing together. Discovering and playing. For what better playground is there than where words, ideas and thoughts come together in jest? I had come to a dead end, which forced me to find a way out of the situation I was stuck in. A life situation provoked by an eye condition that is slowly making me blind. This means that the purpose of the stories you read in the book is to make you see the bigger picture. See a pattern. Maybe you'll discover it. Maybe you won't. If you do identify the pattern, it'll be because you understand the deeper messages I want to give you. And if you don't see the patterns, it may be because you're not ready to see them. Yet. And maybe what I'm saying is just a modern version of the Emperor's New Clothes. But I challenge you to explore it for yourself and find your own answer. I am convinced that if you see the patterns, you'll change how you see yourself and change your life. I'm going to push and motivate you to see your life and your world from a different perspective. Perhaps you're right in the middle of a life crisis, or you feel stuck. Maybe you're God is telling you that you could do much more with your life, but that something is impeding you. I've been there. And I found a way to move on. First, from a deep sense of hopelessness and powerlessness. And later, to a place of solid knowledge that I create my own life according to what I think about and think of myself. This simple sentence may not make much sense to you right now, but it can. Its importance is earth-shattering and can change your life as it did for me when I first understood its enormous significance. I'm going to tell you how I overcame an insurmountable challenge in my life and how I turned it into something that made me stronger, happier, and hungrier for life than I'd ever been before. I'm going to share with you how we can cope with whatever comes our way in life, even if we don't and can't believe it when we're right at the bottom of the black hole. Here, I'll tell you how I have found the way forward in my life, despite blindness being my future prospect. How I became aware of the primary cause of my depression and my being stuck in my life. What was hindering me from living my life to the fullest? And you know about that primary cause only too well. But it can be difficult to identify because it's well and thoroughly entangled in every aspect of our lives. It has engulfed us and has in a way become the modern definition of life. So what is it? It's the internal stream of thought, which is constant background noise in the mind and which is frequently predominantly negative. It's most often focused on worries about the future or memories of the past. As Eckhart Tolle writes in his book Gateways to Now, the French philosopher René Descartes in 1637 formulated his famous quote, "Cognito ergo sum," I think, therefore I am. It became the foundation for how Western culture perceives itself. Our thoughts became synonymous with our being. We may have learned to live with the endless stream of thought, but we've lost control of it, and now these thoughts have too much control over our lives. When I realized that it's up to me to decide the direction of my thoughts, my life changed miraculously. I discovered I was to a great extent enslaved by my negative thoughts and feelings and the experiences I had had throughout my life, and that all my decisions, thoughts, and choices had been made from the perspective of my own limiting behavior. Behavior and a personal hell I had created for myself, but which I had the possibility of changing to a new and improved version that agreed better with my wishes and dreams for my life. Everyone has inside them the capacity to change their thoughts and behaviors if we want and believe we can. With this book, I show you how I did it. I will still lose my eyesight, and I'm still legally blind, but that doesn't change anything in the life I'm to live and the gift that it is. I know that we create our own reality, and I left Hopelessness Street forever to live on Possibility Road when I finally recognized that Descartes' definition on being was wrong. We are not our thoughts, but rather the consciousness which is deeper than the flow of thought. And with the consciousness, we can control our thoughts and thereby create our lives according to our dreams and visions. Whether it is joy, happiness, grief, or sorrow, the choice is ours. Morten Bunde, December 2018. A little on the structure of the book. Part 1. When you get started with the book, you'll discover that part 1 is about some of the challenges I've had to deal with in relation to my eye condition, but also about who I was as a person throughout my life until 2016. Part 1 is about how I slowly moved further down Hopelessness Street and ended up living a life of stress, depression, and limitations. The purpose of part 1 is to help you better follow my footsteps to the realization that I had to change the way I handled these limitations. And remember that The challenges I talk about in part one could have been completely different challenges. They could easily have been the challenges you are experiencing in your own life. I hope it will make you curious and interested in the tools I found to move forward, and that you'll explore further how I was able to change the way I viewed my world and my life. The anecdotes and comments you're going to read reveal some of the topics that we are going to work on in part two. These little hints might just kickstart ideas in your subconscious, and that's what we are going to talk more about in part two. Part two. I hope you'll stay with me throughout part one, but if you, for some reason, don't want to read my personal story in part one, then I would recommend at least starting with the chapter Meeting at the Municipality, an experience that changed everything. And then delving into part two, where I share a lot of knowledge and the tools I used to change course from Hopelessness Street to Possibility Road. I'm still dumbfounded about the fact that I knew nothing about how to change habits and behaviors, something that so many people are now struggling with. I can't understand why we don't learn about this in school. If you find part two too theoretical and distant from what you already know, or if you just can't relate to meditation, mindfulness, or brain research for beginners, try moving on to part three. But remember that in order to understand the deeper meaning of the examples I share in part three, it may be helpful for you to go back to part two afterward. Part three. In part three, I arrive at Possibility Road, and I share the story of how I used the knowledge that I tell you about in part two to change many of my limiting beliefs. I'm going to show you how action, knowledge, and determination gave me new, strong core beliefs, and that these were now predominantly positive. You could say that part three is a recipe and inspiration for how you too can work with your own limiting beliefs. The examples given could have been accomplished in various other ways. The most important thing to understand in part three is that if you want to change your limiting beliefs, you have to do instead of just thinking, worrying, and ruminating. If along the way you find yourself wondering at strange encounters and conversations with mysterious lettermen, don't despair or get confused. Just read on. It will make sense in the end. Happy reading and believing. Part 1. Hopelessness Street. Friday, July 28th, 2017. A telephone call from a stranger. I'd come to a standstill. I'd shut down. Didn't know how to move on. I was suffering from stress and depression. Everything looked bleak. An inner voice ran on repeat in my head.
You're going to be blind, and there's nothing that can change that. You're useless. Just give up now.
I have a disease that is slowly making me go blind. For years, I put on an Oscar-worthy performance, acting as if it wasn't a problem that I needed to deal with. But then the realities of the disease hit me. I am going blind. It was, as I said, most saddened by this dark fact that I got a mysterious call from an unknown number. Now, normally I don't bother to take such calls. They're usually pushy sales people trying to sell you something. But this was different. For some reason, I picked up my iPhone and swiped answer. It's Morten, I said. There was silence on the other end. I repeated, it's Morten. Hello. Then I heard a faint voice.
Is that Morten?
Yes, it's me, I answered, a little irritated. And the voice began to speak a little clearer. And what it said, completely out of the blue, had me sitting on the edge of my seat.
Morten, you're in a very dark place in your life, and right now you're wondering how to get back into the light. Am I right?
There was silence for at least 10 seconds. I was struck dumb. My summer vacation had started 2 days earlier, and I'd been thinking a lot about how to move on with my life after spending 6 months ruminating and worrying about how to change my life from being sad and depressed all the time over losing my sight someday. I lost count of the times I'd ask myself, what is my future going to look like as a blind person? Will I be able to do anything? That someone should contact me without warning and put into words what I'd been brooding over came as something as a shock, to put it mildly. I was quiet for a moment. Thoughts rushed through my head. Who was this man? How did he know something so private about me? Something I hadn't ever told anyone else. I considered pressing the red telephone icon, but something kept me from ending the conversation. Something told me to listen to this man, despite another instinct saying, "Hang up now." "Who am I speaking to?" I asked carefully, getting up from the sofa and walking out into the patio. I had to be alone for this conversation.
"Morten, this is a call you've been waiting for, and if you listen to what I have to say, I'll help you with what you're going through right now. And I promise you, you will become the person you dream of becoming."
I gulped. This was scary. I just started reading books on self-development, and I was inspired by reading stories about people who did the unthinkable, despite them having severe limitations or disabilities to deal with. Only the night before, I'd watched a video on YouTube about a man, Nick Vujicic, who was born without arms and legs and yet had created an amazing life for himself, found the love of his life, had children, learned to walk without legs, learned to swim without arms, and who was now traveling around the world giving inspirational lectures to thousands of people. I'd asked myself, how can he look so brightly on life when I look so darkly on mine? How can I change my life and see opportunities and possibilities instead of constantly seeing limitations? I'd told myself I'd wanted to be that kind of person. But how? And how did this stranger know what I was thinking? I gathered myself and said, as resolutely as I could, "How do you know what I'm thinking, and what exactly do you want with me?" The answer came without hesitation, and I noticed that there was an unusually friendly and nice vibration in the way he responded.
"If you dare to believe that you can change how you see your world, and if you believe I can help you, then it will happen. But you have to believe 100%. Do you believe, Morten?"
he asked. Without faltering or thinking, the answer came out of my mouth, and it surprised me. I stated loudly and clearly, "I believe you." We continued chattering over the phone, and after 15 minutes, I was convinced that this man could help me and that it was now or never. He made me truly believe that I could change my way of thinking, and I could feel my mood lifting.
"I do have one condition for helping you, Morten,"
he said.
"I'm going to give you some tasks, and you have to promise me that you will do your very best to accomplish these tasks. Do you promise?"
Energized by a rare positive force, I answered again without hesitation, "I promise."
"The first task I'm going to give you, Morten, is this. You are to write a book about the journey you are now embarking on. And you have to believe that you are absolutely capable of doing it. I'll help you, I'll make sure you make progress, and I'll give you advice and guidance. You just have to accept these terms. What do you say, Morten?"
Now I hesitated. "Write a book?" I said, uncertainly. I've no idea how to write a book. I don't see why I should write a book. Why would anyone read that? I don't believe I can.
Don't think of it as having to write a book, Morten. You're going to do a number of tasks that eventually will make you think like a new person. A person who can see possibilities and who can get the best out of life. That's the most beautiful gift we've ever received. Trust me, you need to write the book to remind yourself of what you've accomplished and about what you've been able to do with your mind. You don't know what that is yet. Therefore, the book is going to act as a kind of diary for you, something you can refer to later and that other people can be inspired by. Do it now. You can do it.
I let the words circulate in my head for a moment. It all made sense in a way, even if it was totally absurd and unreal. Okay, I'll do it, I replied, feeling better than I ever remembered before.
That was the first difficult decision, Morten. You're on your way now. Your life is never going to be the same again.
This was so incredible. I was still standing on the patio, talking on the phone with a stranger who was telling me he could change my life, and I believed every word he said, completely. I must have gone mad.
You have to start your book now. Start by looking back over the life you have lived. I want you to tell me where you come from and share some of the highlights of your life. As you write, try to think about what beliefs and thoughts have dominated your mind during all these years. It may not make sense to you now, but it will. You have to trust me.
Okay, was all I could say. I'd better get started.
Good, Morten,
the man replied.
I'll contact you again and ask you to share with me how the manuscript is developing. I will then read through and give you new assignments. My name is Mr. P, and I'm going to change your life. That is my promise to you. But there's something I have to warn you about.
I stiffened.
Ah,
I thought.
Here's the catch.
Mr. P continued.
I haven't told you everything yet. Two other people are going to contact you during this process. It's a condition you have to accept. A price you have to pay. These two people are my colleagues. They work for the same organization that I do. One is Mr. N and the other is Mr. F. Our names are a tad enigmatic, but once this process is over, I promise that I will reveal our full names and what they mean. I will tell you more about who we are. For now, you need to know that Mr. N and Mr. F will try to confuse you and lay traps for you. They will try to talk you out of it and install fear in you. It's your job to try to find a way through these challenges without letting them get to you. I'm sure you can, and I will help you.
Okay, I managed to stammer. I'm starting to doubt that this is a good idea.
This is the only way if you want to get on with your life, Morten. All you have to do is believe. Believe in that voice inside you that's saying yes to this project.
With those words, Mr. P hung up and the phone went silent.
How do you write a book?
I thought. I had no idea. But I was determined to find out. So 2 days after my conversation with Mr. P, I found myself sitting down in front of my computer, staring at a blank Word document. I decided to just start and see what would come out of it. And so I started to type.